the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Father, thank you once again for your goodness as we study your word again tonight. Speak to us, God, help us to understand a little bit more about this church at Pergamos, what they were noteworthy for, and then, Lord, what they seem to be naughty in as well, and help us to gain a blessing and to help us to hear from your word tonight. Holy Spirit, teach us once again what we need to know about the blessed word of God and this church at Pergamos and the compromise that we find them in. And I pray that when it's all said and done, we will have learned a little bit more about your will for our lives tonight. We might not be a stumbling block to others, but, Lord, be a stepping stone for the glory of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Minister to us and through us in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. And thus far, was I on, Shane? I'm on? Good, amen. Do we need the fans on before we get started? No? I know the Duffies don't need it on, amen. Being outside, amen. All right, thus far, we have come a long way dealing with this church here at Pergamos. And we began to see up there in verse number 12, the reference to Christ. And then we also saw in verse number 13, some other things that were going on in their life. And now we're looking at their rebuke, amen. Their rebuke. They are being rebuked for some things that's going on. He says, I have a few things against you. Amen. By the way, he's letting them know there's some compromising going on. You know the worst thing about a compromise, amen, is that you give in, and when you give in, you go away from God, amen. Think about this. If we're on God's side, and this is where God is, and I've got to compromise my position, if this is God, if I compromise in the middle of the road, where am I going? Away from God, amen. So compromise for the Christian is not a good thing, amen. And the further away you go from God, the closer you get to the world, amen. So compromise is not a good thing. With your wife, compromise may be a great thing, amen. With your children, compromise may be a good thing, amen. But when it comes to God, compromise is never a good thing, because you have to go away from perfect, the perfect will of God into the permissive will of God, which is not a good thing. And so their rebuke starts in verse 14. And he begins to talk about the doctrine of Balaam that was allowed to be there. Notice what he says there. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And we looked at that last week. We went all the way back to Numbers chapter 22, 23, 24, and 25. And we saw that. And he says down there, he says, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Notice this. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block. Now, that word taught there means to instruct, to show, or to give insight. So he taught, he gave insight to Balak, which was the Moabite king, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. So he said, this is how you can trip them up. This is how you can put a stumbling block in front of them. By the way, you and I, by the way we live, should never be a stumbling block for anybody. Amen. Amen. We should be what God wants us to be. And you can be a stumbling block for somebody else. We talked about that on Sunday, amen, by what you allow yourselves to do. The Bible says abstain from how much appearance of evil? All appearance of evil, amen. I'm to abstain from all appearance. Because if somebody sees me doing something and I call myself a Christian, what might they think? That's okay, amen. And if they do what I do, guess what? I may cause them to stumble into sin. And so he says he taught Balak to cast a stumbling block for the children of Israel. What did he teach? To eat things sacrificed unto idols. That was idolatry. And to commit fornication. We know that's not right either. Amen. And so we looked at that last week. And this is the statement. That is, this is what he's saying. As Balak hired a false prophet who misled the Hebrews, so you have allowed those who teach error among you, like those which Balaam taught. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, hey, church, I'm Jesus. I've given you my kudos. You're doing some great things here. He said, but let me tell you something. You have in your midst people that are teaching just like Balaam taught. And these people are teaching a stumbling block. They're putting a stumbling block down there because it's bringing people into idolatry. Now, what is idolatry for you and I? Anything we put before God. Amen. Anything you and I put before God. By the way, if you get into Facebook before you get in God's book, that's idolatry. Amen. Hey, if you get on the e-phones and the emails and all this before you get it, that's idolatry. Just call it what it is. I mean, well, I plan on getting there. God says seek first the kingdom of God. But seek ye first, amen. And I know that's not popular preaching these days. But guess what? I'd rather get along with God first before I do anything. Why? Anything less than that is going to cause me to begin to start compromising away from God. Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. Amen. We don't like that. I don't like it either. But it's true. Amen. And so he says down there, this is what you did. You allowed these people to be in here. He said, and just like Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and he caused them to eat things, sacrifice on idols, and commit fornication. He said, you got that same type of personality there. Now, question. From what we saw in the Old Testament, Numbers 22, 23, 24, and 25 last week, how would you describe Balaam's character in your own words? Based upon what we saw, how would you describe Balaam, his character in your own words? What was it?
Conniver.
All right. What else? Numbers 22, 23. Well, how would you describe him? Backstabber. Could call him a backslider, but I don't ever think he slid forward. What else about Balaam that we saw? Greedy, amen. He was a rebel, amen. Because you gotta really think about his character before you can understand the condemnation that he's putting on Pergamos for allowing that type of personality to be in the church. Now, just with the things that Jerry mentioned, a couple others, is that a good person to have in the church? Is that a good person to have teaching in the church? Is that a good person to fellowship with? Why not? He will lead you in the same direction. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Amen. And so what we find here, because the doctrine of Balaam was allowed, is that Jesus says, I got something against you. You've got some great character qualities going on in verse 13, some great things. He said, I know thy works. He said, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. He said, you got a bad place to be, and thou holdest fast my name. He said, you're not letting go of that. Has not denied my faith. He said, you haven't denied my faith. He said, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr. He said, even though Christians got killed around you, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelt, he said, you're still standing. He said, but I got a problem with you because you're allowing somebody in your midst that really shouldn't be there. And what's going on here? The danger was their corruption. The destiny was compromise. Why was the danger corruption? Because Balaam knew he couldn't curse them. He says, every time I open my mouth, I end up blessing you. So what did he do? He went over to Balak, and he said, Balak, you know what? I can't curse him. Let me tell you what you do. You call them to one of your religious feasts. They'll get involved in fornication. They'll get involved in idolatry. And when they do that, their God has got to judge them. Now, I can't curse them. I try to, but I can't. But let me tell you what. I know about their God. And I know their God is a jealous God. And I know he's not going to stand for any kind of foolishness or hanky-panky. So you get your little girls over there and entice them and say, come on, boys, come on with us. And what happens? Compromise. And now they've got to come away from their position where God is at. Balaam knows that. Now Balak knows that. And they come over here compromising away from God, backs to God now, faces to the world. And guess what? He says, the danger now is that you will be corrupted. And then the destiny is compromised, and the desire that Balak had and Balaam had is condemnation. God will condemn them. By the way, Satan knows the same thing about you and I. Satan is no match against God and the Spirit of God in us. He's no match. And so he says, I know I can't bother you while you're over here all snugged up against God. I can't do nothing with that. But let me entice you and let me get you to compromise away from the strength and the power of God and the word of God. Let me get you to turn your back on he who is and look at that which is not. And Satan knows that the same way Balaam did it and Balak did it, it's going on in a church of Jesus Christ in Pergamos. That's terrible. The danger, corruption. The destiny, compromise. The desire, condemnation. Balaam's picture, his characters, false prophet, greedy, prideful, shifty, and the list could go on and on. And we looked briefly last week at some of the New Testament pictures of Balaam to get a clue as to why Jesus is so furious about this person being in this church or this personality. Go to the first one, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 15. And I want us to pick out a couple things here that should give you a clear picture of Balaam's character. 2 Peter. So you should go into 2 Timothy, amen. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And notice verse number 15. It says this. Now, by the way, does anybody have any headings or captions over chapter 2? Terrell, what does your caption say? Warning concerning apostate teachers. What does the word apostate mean? Huh? Fake, opposing God. So, was you going to say something, brother? Someone has gone away. They know the truth, but they don't do anything with it. Judas Iscariot was an apostate. Amen. What somebody else say another heading? Yes? Danger to growing Christians. Over chapter 2's heading. I wonder why. Chapter 2, anybody else got another heading that says something different? Description of false teachers. Anybody else say anything different? Everybody's pretty much the same along that line. What is that? False prophets. False prophets. Now, why is that important? Why is that important, that heading over there? Why is that important? We do want the truth. That's true. Warns you what to watch out for, what to look out for. Why else is that important? He's on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. Why else is that important? There you go. What if somebody walked in here with a nice suit on just like me and said, you know, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I say, really? Come on up here and teach for us. Is that a mistake?
Yes.
Why is that a mistake? I haven't checked out his doctrine. Haven't checked out what he believes. But he looks like a preacher. He walks like a preacher. He smells like a preacher. Well, I don't see that. Anybody can dress like that. Anybody can dress for success, amen? And so I make the error by letting him up here because I have not checked him out. And so in this chapter that we find Balaam in, the warning is to, somebody said, growing Christians? Somebody's heading said growing Christians? False preachers? Apostates? Why? Because you can't tell them apart. You can't tell them apart. I've said this before and I'll say it again. What makes a false prophet so dangerous? That's true, but what makes him so dangerous? He looks like the real thing. What makes a counterfeit bill so dangerous? It looks like a real bill, but it's worth absolutely nothing except for the paper it was written on and the ink that it's got. And what makes a false prophet so dangerous and a false preacher so dangerous and a false teacher so dangerous is that they look like the real thing. And so the warning is to Christians here in chapter 2, and Peter of all people has got the good warning, amen? Notice some things that leads up to chapter, to verse number 15. Verse number 1 says, but there were what? Paul, false prophets also where? Among the people. Even as there shall be what?
False teachers
where? Among you who shall what? Privily or privately bring in damnable heresies. In other words, teachers that will curse you and ruin your soul. Even denying the Lord that bought them, that'll kill you every time. If you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope for you. Amen. And he says, and bring upon themselves what kind of destruction? Swift destruction. So now what's so dangerous about a false prophet like Balaam or any of these other guys? Verse number 2. And how many? Many shall what? Their pernicious way. Somebody said it already. They will lead people astray. That's what's wrong. That's the problem. So why is Jesus so upset that this type of a personality that's like Balaam is in the church? Because many people will follow that type of mentality. Brother Neil, I'm sure you've seen people taken right out of church because of that. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Huh? Yes, sir.
First Sunday I came in here, I told you I was retired. On how many Sundays I've gone before, I finally got a chance to meet and teach and preach. And that didn't bother me at all. I appreciate what the team was doing with this first staff. Checking me out, and just we talked, and my conversations with devil, spent some time in prayer and things, and get a chance to research who I was. And I wasn't offended at all. I thought it was great because I've seen people coming to church, and that Sunday they want to preach or teach or something.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor White can attest to this. Sometimes, brother, they have gotten mad at me and stormed out of here. Don't you know who I am? I got so many degrees in the thermometer. I don't care how many degrees you got. I'm elder so-and-so. I don't care if you're younger so-and-so. Amen. And that, I have a higher person that I'm reporting to, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's entrusted me with this. Amen. And so he said, many's going to follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth. Now notice this, by reason of whom the way of truth should be evil spoken of. So they are speaking evil of the truth because of somebody who's a false preacher. Wow, that's amazing. And notice verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words. Feigned word is a fancy word that means false. Amen. So with feigned words make merchandise of who? You. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, God's going to get them. Amen. And he goes down there and talks about how God didn't spare the angels that sinned in verse number 4, and the world in verse number 5 with Noah during his time in Sodom and Gomorrah in verse number 6. Now, why would he list these three examples as he's leading up to this thing? Because those were false examples, or those were examples of false people and false people that got judged. Notice that if God spared not the angels, what happened? They sin, cast them down to hell. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, what they do? Sin, but save Noah, the eighth person. Come down to verse 6, and turning the cities of who? Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. And verse number 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the what? Filthy conversation of the wicked. What is he saying? He says, even back in those days, there was some godly people there called Lot. Amen. And guess what? I delivered him out of that foolishness because you were precious to me. He said he delivered them. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Who is that? The false prophets and these other guys that he's talking about in verse number 4 and 5 and 6. And come down, fast forward down here to verse number 14. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Notice that there, right there, is a plug for you and I to be abreast of what the Bible teach. Beguiling unstable souls. What did Eve say to the serpent? The serpent what? Beguiled me. That is a very good word because it actually means to deceive someone into doing wrong, thinking they're doing right. What did it say? The way of truth is what? Evil spoken of. Didn't it say that earlier? Way of truth is evil spoken of. And so I'm going to beguile this unstable soul. And that's why Mrs. Dawson said the warning to Christians, amen, young Christians. Why? Hey, folks, if you don't know any different, guess what? If you put a bottle in front of a baby and put gasoline in it, what is that baby going to do? Drink it because they don't know any better. You put some rubbing alcohol in a baby bottle, they're going to drink it because they don't know any better. You put milk in it, they're going to drink it because they don't know any better. The one will kill them. The other one will nourish them. And that's how young Christians are. And so this is a warning here. Why is Jesus so upset of this doctrine of Balaam? Verse 15, he says down there, which have forsaken the what? The right way and are gone what? Astray. And what are they following? Following the way of Balaam. What did it say in verse number 2? And many shall what? follow their pernicious ways. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And so he said, the way of Balaam is slippery. And you have that personality in your church. As great as you are, you're allowing this to happen. Folks, that's dangerous. And so we see here in Peter the rebuke that's going on here because of the danger of corruption, the destiny of compromise, the desire of condemnation. But show you Jude 11 as well. Go over to Jude 11 here. Show you the other New Testament example of Balaam in the New Testament. Because this is serious business, so serious that God has listed it in Numbers and in Revelation and in Jude and in 2 Peter. Notice Jude, and Jude as well, notice he appears here in verse number 11. But before we get down there, notice verse number 2. He says, down there, mercy unto you and peace. This is Jude speaking. And love be multiplied. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence right unto you of the common salvation. He said, I wanted to write unto you guys about being saved and how good being saved is. And by the way, is being saved good? Yes. Amen. Nothing better than being saved. Amen. He says, common salvation, it was needful or more necessary for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly what? Contend for the faith. In the world of boxing, they're known as contenders, heavyweight contenders and lightweight contenders. Now, I'm not a boxer, amen. Hey, but guess what? I know what contend means. It means to stand up and fight for something. And Jude said, you know what? He said, I wanted to write to you guys about how good it is to be saved. But he says, I had to write to you and let you know you need to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints, once and for all. This is it. It's over. It's done. Why? Verse 4, for there were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, unbridled lust, basically, and denying who? The only Lord God. Did not we see the same condemnation in 2 Peter? Written by two different guys. Same thing. Denying the only Lord and Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in what? Remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward did what to them? Destroyed them that believe not. He gives the same example about the angels, verse 6. And the what? Angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. He gives the same example as well as Peter, even as who? Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, exactly what the children of Israel did, and set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal hellfire. Verse number 8, likewise, what does that mean? In the same manner as Sodom and Gomorrah, as the angels, and as the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, he said, likewise, also these filthy dreamers, what are you talking about, false prophets, defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil dignities. Come down to verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of who? Cain. Is Cain a good guy or a bad guy to follow? Killed his brother because he's mad at God. That's bad. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily. I think somebody said his character is greed. Amen. Ran greedily after the what? Error of Balaam for reward. And this personality is in the church at Pergamos. So God is very, very, very serious about this type of personality being in the church. He says down there, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran up greedily after the ear of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Anybody know what the word gainsaying means? It means to, what did Korah do to Moses? Anybody know? Rebel, talk back. That's pretty much what gainsaying means, to strife, to have some disunity there, some disputing. Anybody know what happened to him? And not well. The ground opened up and swallowed him whole. Amen. And by the way, go over there real quick. Go over to Numbers. I want to show you something here and show you what the danger is of having this type of personality at Pergamos. Go over to, is it Numbers I'm looking for? Where's Korah at? Anybody know where does Korah show up at? Brother? But he's no offhand. Korah. I know I got him here. Stand by. Where's he at? Numbers 16. Okay, yeah, there we go. Go over to Numbers chapter 16. And I want to show you what the bad part about having this type of personality in the church. Numbers chapter 16. This is the same Korah that is talking about gainsaying of Korah. Numbers 16. And we've got to hurry with this. Notice verse number one. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Pelath, sons of Reuben, did what? That's the problem. And many shall follow their pernicious ways and lead astray many. What did these guys do? A couple of them took men. And that's why Jesus is so upset. He's saying, look, you're trying to bring compromise into the family of God. And most folks are trying to stand, but you've got some folks in there that's not. And let me tell you something, it's going to catch sooner or later. It always does. Notice what he says. They took men and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. It started with a handful in verse number one, right? And now how many is it? 250 nobodies? Is that what it says? 250 princes of the assembly. They were infamous? No, they were famous in the congregation. Men of renown. And they what? Gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. That's why the Lord said, look, I don't want that personality there, because what they do is they're going to start teaching some compromise, cause you to do things. They're false prophets. They're going to get some people together with them and bring you away from the Lord. That's exactly what happened at Pergamos. And that's why the church is not there anymore, because these people were allowed to be there. Folks, I'm telling you, folks, and folks get mad at the preacher when he jumps up and down and rants and raves about stuff like this. And oh, preacher, that'll never happen. Ha ha! Truly, you jest. They gather themselves together against Moses and Aaron. Say, you take too much upon you, seeing all the people, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. By the way, did they lift themselves up or did God lift them up? God lift him up. God told Moses to do what he did. God told Aaron to do what he did. These guys don't like that. And so when you go back over there to Jude, this crowd named Korah is in the same conversation with Cain, and in the same conversation with Balaam, you find Korah and his gainsaying or his disputing or his fighting against Moses. Amen. Go back to Revelations here, and we're going to have to wrap this up real quick. Amen. So we see these New Testament pictures. What's going on? The doctrine of Balaam is allowed in verse number 14. He says, I have a few things against thee because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. What did he do? He taught Balak to cast a stumbling block for the children of Israel by doing what? Eat things sacrificed on idols and commit fornication. So we see there what we have at Pergamos then is a type of personality like Balaam in the church, which was allowed to teach something that was a stumbling block causing idolatry and fornication, either formally in the pulpit or informally by their mannerisms with the people. One or the other. We don't know. We're not told. But we know that they're allowed to be there in some way, shape, fashion, or form. And they're teaching like Balaam. And they're categorized with Korah. They're categorized with Cain. They're categorized with Sodom and Gomorrah and the rest of that crowd. That's not a good crowd that you want to be cataloged with. Amen. One thing is for sure. They knew about it. Notice verse 14 again. But I have a few things against thee because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. He said, you know about it. You got them right there. And you know they hold this doctrine. And folks, that's the sad part right there. Because when you try to get that cancer out, guess what? You pull a whole lot of organs out oftentimes. Amen. That's the scary part. One of the reasons my wife didn't want to have surgery on her tumor in her brain, because when you go in there, you can mess with some other stuff. I was talking to Brother Bossy. His wife died of a tumor as well. She had cancer, and then it went down and tied around her lungs and things like that. And she died, and she didn't want to have surgery. It starts to mess with other members of your body. And what is Jesus concerned with? This Balaam mentality can affect other members of the body. And it can cause others that are snugged up to the Lord to compromise and come away. And he said, they will cast a stumbling block. It can happen. It can happen. And so Jesus is warning them. This is what he did. And I'm sure they're doing something at this church at Pergamos. What? I don't know. But whatever it is, Jesus is upset about it. Jesus said, I died for this church. My blood was shed for this church. I love every member in that church. And Jesus is saying, it's not everybody. Hallelujah, it's not everybody. It's not everybody. He says, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine. He didn't say you. He said, you got them there. They're somewhere there and you know it. Them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. He said, you know, praise God, it's not everybody. Tell you what, as a pastor, I got to be very careful who I allow to teach, who I allow to instruct. I've got to be careful that I put before you people that have a spiritual walk that's not going to cause you to stumble. Well, I can't just put anybody there. And preacher, I've made some mistakes. I'll be the first one to admit I've made some mistakes. And I've had some people before you that probably weren't the best people to have before you. I admit that. Did I know? No. No, I didn't. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have did what I did. Now, if I know better, then I'm just as guilty as the Christians in Pergamos. Amen. He said, you got them there. You know they're there. I didn't know. And then their colors showed later. You know, and my heart's broken that I did. But God knows my heart. I did it in ignorance. I didn't do it on purpose. And he says, you know, watch out, preacher. Watch out, Christian. Watch out, young people. Because that's not the only problem. We're going to come up next week to another problem. Verse 15, he says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans. He said, Ephesus didn't even do that. Which thing I hate. He said, after all the compliments I gave you in verse number 13, all the good things that you did there and how you didn't deny my name and how you didn't hold fast my name and you're in Satan's seat, all those good things. He said, but you got people that are going to destroy you from the inside. You don't have to worry about Satan's seat outside because you're getting destroyed from the inside. Satan's knocking at the door trying to get in and you got the doors closed, but you don't know you've got the boogeyman on the inside. He said, you got two personalities here that's destroying you from the inside. And folks, I know firsthand how dangerous that is. And would to God I had a super spiritual sixth sense where I could just see in people's soul and see what they were going to do. Be like Jesus, you're going to betray me. You're out of here. No, I wouldn't kick him out. I'd just do like Jesus, just watch him every step of the way. Yeah, be betrayed by me with a kiss. I knew it. Amen. But you could fortify yourself if you knew. Amen, preacher? But oftentimes we don't know. Why? We want to be trustworthy and trusting, and we want to love people with the love of God, but we've got to be discerning, and we've got to be careful. I like what Paul told the church at Rome. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Like what he told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We got this crowd in verse number 14 that's allowing to exist within a good, healthy body, and sooner or later the cancer is going to catch. What was Balaam's design? Corruption. What was the destiny? Compromise. What would be the result of the desire? Condemnation. God had to judge. And he will judge every time for the sake of his name. He will. Folks, be careful what we do. False teachers sound real good. They sound because they tell you what you want to hear. Jeremiah was never on the popularity list. Isaiah was never on the popularity list. Jonah was not on the popularity list, even though he didn't want to go. Micah, Hosea, they weren't on the popularity list. Haggai, Habakkuk, wilt thou not revive it? They weren't on the popularity list. When you speak the truth, people don't like to hear it. But the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I got to know it first to allow it to set me free. Jesus is confronting this church broad daylight. He says, look, The doctrine of Balaam has been allowed. The danger is corruption. The destiny is compromised. The desire is condemnation. I will have to judge. And it doesn't stop there, amen. We'll talk about the Nicolaitans next week. But folks, let's make sure that we are not unstable. What is a beguiling, unstable souls? Let's get our feet planted in the Word of God. Let's know what we believe, why we believe it, and be like verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith. He said, even though there are some there that's denying, you haven't. Let's be like those guys. Amen. Those guys that don't compromise, those guys that don't let loose, those guys that say, I'm going to stick with the stuff. I know the Word of God, and I'm going to hold on to it. Amen. And I know, we're going to make mistakes. We understand that. But once we're confronted with the mistake, we shouldn't make the mistake again. Father, help us now tonight as we leave here with an understanding of the danger of the Balaam personality. Thank you for what was shown here to the church at Pergamos. And Lord, they had some great things going for them. But oh God, they had some terrible things as well. And not by the faithful, but by the false. And God, help us to be able to spot the false. Lord, be able to confront the false in Jesus' name with love and kindness. But at the same time, not be frivolous. And Lord, watch our own testimony, our own example. Thank you, Lord, that you have not abandoned this church. But you did say you would deal with those that are doing the error. And Lord, I thank you that it wasn't everybody. It was only, it seems, a minority. But Lord, whoever it was, I do pray that whoever it is will be found out. And Lord, continue to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but dealt with as well. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with thy blessings. Thank you for the tracts that we were able to give out to the children, along with the treats. Now help us, Lord, as we get ready to depart here, to give you all praise, honor, and glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.